Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's sermon is the gospel reading from Matthew 25. As I think at this point all of you know, if you didn't know before, you heard me talk about it earlier in the announcements, we are on the backstretch of our consecrated steward's emphasis. We're in week 3 of 4, next week being the final week, and it will be Consecration Sunday. Now, it's important to understand all that it means to live out our faith as stewards consecrated to the Lord. A steward is a manager of someone else's stuff. It is all God's stuff, everything, all that we are and all that we have. It's all God's stuff. And so everyone is a steward of God's stuff, whether they acknowledge it or not. Whether they are a believer or not, each and every person is a steward of what God has blessed them with. And as Christians, of course, we should acknowledge that with gratitude. And we should certainly strive to be good and faithful stewards. We are stewards 24/7. And that means living out our faith as God intends. Being a steward is basically being a Christian. Living out, that is, our Christian faith. Living our faith as stewards, though, doesn't happen without a faith that is living. Living out our Christian faith as stewards doesn't happen without a faith that is living, a faith that is alive. And per the parable that Jesus conveys this morning and the message in it, if it's not living, then there is no faith. So Jesus tells this parable about a coming bridegroom and 10 virgins. And oil, and lamps, and so forth. And I should say probably up front that there's not unanimous agreement about what exactly every specific element in this parable specifically stands for, due in part, at least, to not having a 100% complete picture of first century wedding custom. And that's okay. Not every single parable is meant to be decoded, or every element of a parable is meant to be decoded, as it were. We know in part, but not always fully. But in this parable specifically, we wonder, who exactly are the 10 virgins? Also the oil, what exactly does it represent? And the lamps, the light, what is that? Well, depending on who you ask, you might get some mildly differing answers. But the message of Jesus' story is in large part clear, though. Or at least part of the message that leads to the ultimate message. And that is, be wise. Don't be foolish. I mean, this sounds like good practical advice. Actually, good practical parental advice to me, if you think about it. You know, it's kind of like my parents always used to say, don't be foolish. Well, actually, they said, don't be stupid. But you get the idea. And man, you know, that just takes me back. I haven't heard that from them. And I don't even know. It's been like at least a week now. Anyway, be wise. Don't be foolish. This is more than practical advice. Specifically, be wise by being ready, Jesus says. By being ready. Be ready for the coming of the bridegroom, whenever that may be, because no one knows when that will be. The parable that is like what the kingdom of heaven will be when it comes in its fullness is a coming wedding feast. Now, there's a pretty fair amount of wedding imagery in the Bible, including this imagery of a marriage feast with the marriage of bridegroom and bride come together forever. Bridegroom is Christ. I'm sure you figured that out. Of course, the bridegroom being Christ, Jesus, who comes to claim forever his bride, his pure virgin bride, the church. Here, everything's already prepared. The celebration is ready. And those who are to be a part of it are acutely reminded to be ready. Now, see, for his part, the bridegroom, Jesus, he does all the work to prepare his bride for the marriage feast. He does all the work to prepare the bride for his arrival, for his coming. He first came to win her. He did everything that a father, his father actually, could and did ask. The perfect bridegroom. He lived a perfect life, always for the sake of his beloved bride. Always. And he doesn't just promise it, and he doesn't sing about it in a country song. Jesus literally laid down his life for his bride, to give her his perfect life, to robe her, to cover her with his righteousness, to win her and to make her his very own. He continues to do that. He continues to come and to claim her and prepare her for the eternal marriage feast in God's kingdom. In the water of baptism, he washes her clean of the stain and shame of her sin, clothing her in his own righteousness and holiness, making her beautiful and beautifully adorned. In Ephesians 5, speaking about marriage, husband and wife, St. Paul compares husbands to Christ and the church to the wife, with a focus on Christ and his work. And he says this: husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water and the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. That's what the bridegroom who came still comes to do for his bride, the church, for us. Make us holy and without blemish. Prepare us for his arrival. He continues to come to make her ready. He fuels her holiness, if you will, her faith, with the never-ending, always burning light of his word. He nourishes her with his very self, his own body and blood poured into her to forgive her sins and cleanse her anew and keep her holy. For his part, the bridegroom does all the work to prepare his bride for the eternal wedding feast. For her part, to be ready, she needs but faithfully receive, and in faith live in his love. To be ready, she needs a living faith. A living faith. She will not get by on her own laurels, nor will she get by on the coattails of anyone else. Of the 10 virgins, 5 were foolish. They were not ready when the bridegroom finally arrived for the marriage celebration. They had neglected what was necessary. They had no light left, no oil left, rather. And so the lamps, their torches had gone out. Now, as I alluded to earlier, there's been more than one suggestion about what the oil that the wise virgins brought that the foolish ones didn't bring, what it might represent. Most of them are pretty close to the same, but I really like the Lutheran Study Bible note on this particular verse. Very simply says this: the oil represents a faith continually sustained by the means of grace, thus able to endure until Christ's return. I think that hits the nail on the head. Basically, a living faith in the groom, in Christ, a faith given and fed or fueled so that the light of faith burns on and doesn't go out. To continue living and be ready for the bridegroom, we each need a living faith, sustained by what fuels faith? The Holy Spirit working in the Word and in the sacraments. The 5 foolish virgins, when the time came, they were not ready. They asked for others to share with them. And the 5 wise ones, they're not greedy. They're not being rude. It just wasn't possible. The oil that each one had, the ones that the 5 wise ones had, was only sufficient for each one of them. Each needed her own fuel or oil for her own lamp, and both then and now to continue to let it burn. Now, this, even though it be a communal wedding feast, and Christ and his church both then and now is never lived in isolation. Our lives are not lived in isolation in faith. It's always lived with the rest of those who are in the faith. Yet at the same time, only the person of faith will be allowed to enter the wedding feast. Maybe more plainly said, is no one else's faith or nothing else besides a living faith in the coming bridegroom will save. No person's faith can save someone else. No relative's faith, not a spouse's faith. Cheryl's faith is not going to save me. My faith is not going to save her. Not a parent's faith. You can have the most faith-filled parents in the world, but apart from his or her own faith, the child will not enter the marriage celebration. Likewise, the child's faith will not save an unbelieving parent, nor will anything else save, like history, for example, like having had a history of having gone to church to be fed, nourished, fueled, and refueled, but then having slowly or quickly gotten away from that refueling that we all need. See, that history of having been there but gotten away will not save. Not everybody gets in. I say this in all seriousness. Jesus makes this painfully clear. There will come a day when the door is shut. And that's it. To those not ready by faith, from inside, the Lord will say, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Now, he knows about them. But he doesn't know them in the sense of they having a faith relationship with himself. And that's not by his doing. Not at all. Remember, he did everything to prepare them. Everything. They were not in the relationship with him needed to be admitted. Their light had burned out because they neglected to be ready. They neglected the faith that he had given. And what he did and does here and here and here to keep it fueled. They neglected those things. The Lord, and being near his word and his sacrament to fuel faith, was not a priority. Other things were more important. Things like, though certainly not limited to, rest or sleep instead of coming and resting in the Lord and in his word. Leisure activities, hunting, fishing, golfing, tennis, Sunday brunch. There's a lot of ways. Those are just the stereotypical ones. There are a lot of ways one may choose to neglect what is most needful. The Lord, being in his presence, and being served by him, and the faith that he feeds or fuels. When he comes, only those with that living faith, fueled and sustained by word and sacrament, will be ready to enter. The marriage feast is coming. And you don't know the day or the hour, and I don't know the day or the hour. Jesus says no one knows the day or the hour except the Father alone. When it gets here, there will not be time to prepare or to get ready when the cry goes out and the bridegroom arrives. It will simply be too late. Only those who have remained ready by faith, a faith given and sustained by the Lord, will be prepared and thus enter. Now, maybe this is often probably the case. In a lot of respects, I'm preaching to the choir, as it were. Many of us recognize how important that living faith is, a faith constantly refueled, so that it is sustained and living. Yet this is a word for each and every one of us. Don't get lax. Be vigilant. Be watchful. Be ready. Don't neglect your God-given faith as some choose to do. You don't know the day or hour, and you need a living faith to continue living now and then. You need regular refueling, very regular. I know we celebrated the Reformation a couple of weeks ago, but all of this, it reminds me of a story about Martin Luther, a story I heard about Luther at the time of his death. So, Luther's last word before he died was ja. Ja being the German word for yes. So the story goes, Luther was in Eisleben, Germany, the place where he had been born. And it was the 63rd year of his life. He had traveled to Eisleben in order to visit people, family, friends, and to preach there. Well, already ailing, he got much, much more sick while he was there. In fact, he got so sick, he was suffering miserably. He cried out at one point, "Oh God, how I suffer!" And then it said he lapsed into semi-consciousness. Well, when he did that, a friend whispered in his ear, "Reverend Father, do you still hold to Christ and to the doctrine that you preached?" With much effort, a labored, "Yeah," was his answer and his last word. Not long after, he died. Fueled by not only the doctrine that he had preached, but the source of that doctrine, the word that he had faithfully heard and read and received, and the body and blood of Christ which he had faithfully received, kept his faith burning, so that even in the hour of suffering, the most intense hour of his suffering perhaps, Luther was prepared for the bridegroom. He was ready. Be ready. This word is for each of us. This word is for everybody in the church. If you know someone whose faith is not being fueled, whose oil is at risk of running out and the light being extinguished, remind them. Remind them, encourage them how important it is to be fed, refueled, nourished, how important it is to regularly be where God does that, which is right here. And of course, at the same time, keep living the faith. Keep living the faith by being a faithful steward, a manager of all that God gives and makes you. Live the faith first by having a faith that is living, fueled by the gifts of the bridegroom himself to his bride while she waits for his coming. Stay ready. Be ready at all times. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.